Like, what? That's not... Why are you saying that?
All right. Hey, what's up? Oh, I suck. All right. Hey, what's up, everybody? We're the Flippin' Flippers.
Your weekend hangover podcast.
And I'm your host, Paul.
And I'm Esteban.
Recently promoted to co-host.
Yeah, but since I lost my vest...
Like in the war? Like what?
Yeah, I lost my vest in the war. The one that I got for co-hosting. That's why no one has ever seen it. So I lost my title as of co-host.
Oh. Well, I didn't know that. Nobody told me. I must not have got the memo.
Nope. No one gives you the memo because you're lame.
So today's gonna be fun. We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna have a special guest today.
Senor Ed Shu.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Senor Ed Shu. Okay. Senor Ed Shu. Issue.
Yeah, from Wrought Iron Leather and Effects.
Yeah, so man.
It's gonna be awesome, man. I'm excited. He seems like a cool guy. I've texted him a few times, but never really talked to him. So it should be fun.
Yeah, it should be really good. I'm excited to ask him about like what he sells more of. If he sells more pedals, or
well, don't give away your questions. Then just stricken it from the record. Where's our stenographer?
Oh, hold on.
Perfect. That's what I'm talking about. Action. When I speak, I want action. No, but you want to ask him what sells better, like as far as his stuff or just his pedals or?
Yep. What sells, like what items sell the best out of all his inventory?
Cool. I think that's cool. I don't know what I'm going to ask him. I'll wing it. We'll come up with something. But,
ask him if he likes chicken wings.
Oh, of course he likes chicken wings. If he says he's a vegan, though, we'll just like turn it off.
Yeah. Just hang up and then that'll be like the end of the episode.
Yep. Thanks for having us. Yeah. We're meatitarians, so I'm sorry that's not gonna work out.
And Noah calls himself a junk fooditarian.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Pretty good. I like that. I said that's a good. So what's going on? What's new with you, man?
Not much, man. Vacation in Tennessee was awesome.
Cool.
Went hiking.
You snuck into NAMM and it was awesome. You got to meet all your friends.
I wish I did.
Me too. I wish you did. That way I could be envious of you.
Yeah. I tried to see how far away like John Diaz lived, but it just wasn't working.
Yeah. I hear you, man. And our vacation was good. We had a great time. So just maxing and relaxing. So it was good. We had a good time.
Yeah, I posted on the Facebook page today that like I finally hit that like 60 pounds down.
Dude, amazing.
So I'm super excited. Awesome. I was talking with Ryan today and he's like, oh yeah, it was really funny because he's like, I kind of remember.
Yeah, he doesn't remember a lot. He like literally doesn't remember. Steve remembers, I think, almost everything. But like I've talked to both of them like early on and there's an episode where they talk about how like I wanted to send him like a build your own clone and have like Steve build it and have Ryan do the artwork. And then like they forgot about it. And then like it came back up and Ryan's like, I don't remember that at all. And Steve's like, I kind of remember that.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh yeah, he did say, but he's an Inner Circle member now. Like it was pretty funny.
That's funny. And so, I don't remember what I was going to say anymore. That's okay. Oh yeah. So he's like,
so Ryan didn't remember.
He's like, I'll work on it tomorrow. And, he's like, I'll get it to you.
It'll be just like on a napkin. He'll just mail it to you.
Yeah.
Like unusable.
He's like, here's this napkin. I was like, it's amazing. And I decided that I'm going to put a Jamie Davis approved sticker on my car. Like one's already on my car, like on the back. But I'm going to put it like right, like where the trunk keyhole is. So I can just stab him in the face all the time.
That's pretty good.
Like a weird blue doll thing going on.
Yeah. Take that, Jamie. Take that.
Face.
So,
oh, man, I am most excited for Jamie Davis's second line of stickers.
They're so good. Yep, they're good. I said, how much are you going to sell them for? And he's like, I don't know, all of them. I was like, yeah, like a lot, like one of each. And he's like, oh, I don't know, five. And I was like, what's your email address?
Yeah, that's a good price.
He's like, why? Oh, he's like, he goes, it hurts my heart. You don't know. Something like that. And I was like, okay, buddy, like I'm still sending you $5. So can it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he sent me
the Whirly stickers, pretty sweet.
Yeah, and I mean, he kind of went all out this time. Last time he sent me some stickers, and I was like, oh, he didn't have to do that. That was cool. And I don't think I paid him for them, so he just like.
Yeah, I don't think I paid him either.
I think
he gave me like 10 stickers.
Yeah, totally. And I gave some away too, but it was like he didn't have to do that, so I want to make sure I gave him some money, some right. monies.
And so I'm going to like, I was going to start.
You're giving him $30,
sticking them places, like just carrying them with me and just sticking them everywhere, like uptown.
Totally. Athens. Well, that's what he was doing when he first got them. He put them on like a Taco Bell drive-through, and he put them on like people's cars at church
because he goes to Athens every once in a while to go like B-dubs. So I wonder, like, how cool it would be if he, like, went uptown and I was like, oh, like, look at this, like, post or, like, look at this lamp post. And there's a sticker, like, one of the stickers just hanging out.
That'd be good. I think that'd be good.
Yeah. And then tomorrow we're going.
You know what would be better than that?
What?
You're going to have to bring rubber gloves. The only way to pull it off is to bring rubber gloves. So you got to go into, like, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yep.
And then go to the urinal and then stick his face in the urinal.
Yeah, that's true.
Like on the wall. You can't do it at the bottom part. It won't stay. But if you put it on the wall, you could. It would be hilarious. But I wouldn't do that without gloves because that's just gross.
With long rubber gloves.
Like, yeah. Yeah, the ones you need for birthing a cow. That's what you need.
Yeah, like bovine treatments.
Yeah. Bovine treatments. Well, they're officially gross.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll get to it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Without further ado, we have Mr. Ed Chu. Okay, that sounds good.
All right, hang on a second. I can barely hear you guys.
Oh, gotcha. Maybe that's a good thing on my end.
Yeah.
What's that?
But maybe it's a good thing that you can't hear me.
I got you now.
Oh, man.
Cool, awesome.
I gotta figure out how to put this on speakerphone so you guys don't have to look at my ear.
Well, that's all right. All I see is like a. I don't think your camera's on, so I think you're talking.
Oh, okay.
Fine, yeah.
All right, I might leave it like that because I'm in my shop and my Wi-Fi is
in the house.
Good.
All right.
Well, it's cool to finally talk to you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. Took us a while to hook up, but we got it now.
Definitely.
Okay. Late nights are kind of my time when I get stuff done.
So. Oh yeah, us too. We're exactly. That's. I mean, we may not get stuff done, but we're late. we're night owls.
Good. Yeah, I'm the same way. Unfortunately, my wife isn't, so she's kind of always fighting me for
scheduling. We don't want. Yeah, that's what they call it nowadays. Yeah. Scheduling.
Oh, is that what you have to do? I didn't know you had to schedule that. I'll have to talk to my wife about that.
We can make those jokes for me.
Cool, man.
So, what did I interrupt? What were you guys talking about?
We basically just did our intro and just kind of said what's new, and then we figured we'd just start with an interview with you. We haven't really. We didn't really even plan anything just because we think it's better that way.
Okay.
Like we have like a general flow and like of idea, but to try and like schedule every minute just doesn't
seem sure.
Like it's restricting to like the conversation flow, I feel.
Sure. Yeah, that's what people say who don't plan things.
Yeah.
Right. You know, yep. Yeah. We know all the excuses.
Right. It's more organic this way.
Right? Yeah. That's it.
Church isn't more organic that way, but that's just my opinion. Right. Some structure there.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. There's a radio show here on our local public radio where it's like completely scripted. Like every interview, you know, you can tell they're like, you know, they ask a question and then the person they're interviewing just launches into, you know, a pre-made answer that they already had written out for it.
Right.
It's like, this is so ridiculous, you know, like stop the pretense that it's, you know, a live thing. Just talk.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
Yeah. So anyway.
And where are you from? Where are you from?
Where am I from? I'm from Amory, Wisconsin. I mean, that's where I live.
Yeah.
I was born and raised in Indiana.
Okay.
In a little town called Reelsville.
Reelsville. Is it a good place to like go and hide if
you ever call it a town? Yeah, right.
I'm asking for a friend, of course.
Yes. These aren't the questions that he has scripted at all. Cool, now, man.
Where are you guys at? You're out in California, right?
Esteban is out in Ohio, and I live in New York.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I lost you there for a second, Paul.
Oh, I said Esteban's from Ohio, and I live in New York.
Right. Oh, really? Man, why did I have you guys in California?
I don't know.
But I'm from New York.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm originally from California. And then
you are.
Huh? Yeah, so, but like I moved here when I was like 13. So it's not like I'm a New Yorker now at this point.
Right.
He's like, right.
He's like, right. Where's the end call button?
He's like, you're just a jerk then. That's pretty funny.
Cool, man. Well, so how did you get into this whole, you know, making pedals and making straps thing?
Well, I got into making guitar straps first, and that was at the time my day job was I was a farrier or a horseshoer.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, I'd been doing that for a few years probably when I started making straps, and I was making I'd kind of done leather work just as a hobby, and I was making a pair of farrier chaps. Just cause I wanted to make my own. And so I had some scrap leather and, I didn't like any of the guitar straps I had. They either just weren't long enough or they're uncomfortable. And I was like, well, heck, I'm going to try to make one the way I like it. And the other thing that always bothered me about them is how hard they are to adjust.
Sure. Like some
like most leather straps, you have to take the whole strap apart, separate it into two pieces and kind of like permalock design that a lot of them use. And that's what I had at the time. And I was just like, man, this is so frustrating because you re-thread the whole thing, you know, and move it up one hole or whatever. And then you put it on and it's like, that wasn't enough. Now I got to
do it. You got to start all over. Another 30-minute project.
Right. Yeah. So I thought, well, I'm going to give it a shot up with my own kind of little adjusting system. I mean, nothing that I invented, just kind of a old school, you know, two D-rings with the strap kind of threaded through them. And, I just kind of got started doing that. And then, just for my own guitars. And I think the first one I ever, and I say sold in quotation marks, cause the guy never paid me for it.
those are the good ones.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, my sister had a friend who played guitar and needed a guitar strap. And she's like, well, my brother just, you know, he's made some. And she showed him a picture of the one I had, I think. And he's like, yeah, make me one for him. And yeah, so I did. And yeah, I never got paid for it. but yeah, it just really grew slowly. After that, like a couple other people that had seen that strap asked me for one. And I think I actually got paid for the next one or two.
Oh, nice.
And,
well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. I was like, oh, maybe I could actually sell these instead of people just stealing them from me. And so
that's funny.
Yeah. So over the years, it's just, you know, it's kind of grown every year. I mainly sell my straps right now just on Etsy.com. Okay.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And,
yeah. I sell some through Reverb, and I've been working on my own website for about 6 months. I just cannot seem to get it ready to where I want to launch it. But eventually, yeah, I'll have wroughtironleather.com will be up and selling stuff there.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's something that's better to wait, you know, have it right.
Yeah, versus, exactly.
You know, I know other podcasts even this week talked about some other websites that are just so bad, you know, and it's like,
right.
Yeah. It's just like, just make it right, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing that I get really frustrated with when you go on a website and it doesn't work right, or, you know, it just, yeah, it's hard to navigate. You know, I had a funny experience this week. I was doing some work with a friend on a house, and just kind of doing some odd jobs, you know, and he's like, well, you need to get a contractor license for this next job. So I was like, all right. So I go online for the state of Wisconsin, and their websites are just unreal. You know, it's like you cannot find anything on them. And so it's like, they're like, in 2013, and we changed who, you know, has control over this licensing. And it's like, click on this link. So I click on the link to find out where I got to go to get this license, right? And which basically is just, you know, this is an excuse for us to take $35 from you. You know,
of course, like yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we don't really care if you have any qualifications, you know, for this license. It's just...
we just want your money, yep.
Yeah, it's just like, fill out your name and address on here and give us $35 and we'll, you know, we'll let you work.
And marry people.
The link, and it takes me to the actual bill where they change the law, you know, like, and it's got the whole thing. And the first line of the bill, it just says, you know, paragraph one, section one, says the Kringle is the official state pastry of Wisconsin.
I'm like, well, all right. Let me write that down. That's probably important. There might be a test after.
Bill where they, you know, you know, it deals with pastries and it deals with contractor licensure.
So, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was like, I'm not reading this.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
that. But so, yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to wait till I actually have that website ready to launch it instead of, you know, having stuff like that.
Yeah. What is the Kringle?
The Kringle?
Yeah, like, what is it?
It's kind of like a fruit filled, it's basically like a giant Danish, but kind of in a, it's like a giant Danish in the shape of a circle. It's like hollow in the center.
Okay.
It's a ring Danish. That was what I would call it.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You should Google it. They look awesome.
The Kringle. But,
yeah. They're not bad. Yeah, they're pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. They look awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty good. There's a lot of, you know, up here in northern Wisconsin, there's a lot of Swedish and Norwegian influence on everything. So uh-huh. That's probably where that comes from.
The Kringle.
Very cool. Yeah, we're both foodies, so I don't know. We were just, okay. We were making fun of you earlier. We were saying if he doesn't like meat, then he's out. We're going to just end the call right now.
Right. Yeah. No, that, I don't have any... I don't have any trouble in that.
Okay, good. Because I'd hate to see that happen, but you know, sometimes you got to put your foot down.
Yeah, I'd hate to end this call fast. You know?
Yeah,
we have some standards over here.
Right. Yeah.
They're not that high though.
I don't think I even eat enough vegetables in a year to really qualify as an omnivore. I'm probably more like. I just like accidentally ate some lettuce on a hamburger or something.
Yeah.
Like, hello, who put that on there?
Yeah. Who did this to me? Yeah. Drives like, it was me.
One time I was, when I first got married, I was doing construction work and my wife made a sandwich for me and I sat down to eat and the guy was sitting beside at lunch. I opened the sandwich up and she put it, you know, my wife is very much into, vegetables and she was an organic farmer for a while. So she used to grow all kinds of crazy stuff. And,
right.
You know, I open up the sandwich and it's got all these weird leaves on it. And the guy next to me looks at it and he's like, well, heck, I got some of those growing on the tree out in my yard. If you want some of those on your sandwich, I could have brought you some. Yeah,
they're like, great, thanks guy.
Yeah, right. So, but yeah, so but yeah, that's kind of how I got started making straps, you know, just real slowly built up from just giving it a try myself for my own guitars.
Yeah,
cool. Now and then what about pedals? Were you always like a tinkerer or is that did you just decide you're just gonna up and do it one day or
Well, it's kind of, I've always been kind of a tinkerer. I'm always working on stuff and got projects going. And, you know, my dad's a mechanic and, kind of very much a DIY kind of guy. So I kind of have that in my blood. And, But what got me started building pedals was when I kind of first started playing electric guitar again. I played when I was younger, kind of in college, just a little bit. I didn't actually even start playing guitar until I was in college. And then I got my first electric guitar about 6 months before I shipped out with a Peace Corps into a village with no electricity and no running water. So the electric guitar got left behind for a number of years. And then I just picked it back up, you know, a number of years ago. And yeah, what really got me interested in building my own effects was I saw this boost pedal. You guys know the band Dawes?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So their guitar player, their lead singer, Taylor Goldsmith, I saw a picture of his pedal board, and he had this boost pedal on there that, you know, it had like a voltmeter in it, and it was just like in this really janky looking, you know, just like it looked like pieces put together to make the box. You know, like the top plate didn't line up with the bottom, that like obviously, you know, didn't match and didn't really go there.
Yeah, so it's like a seventh grade tech project.
Yeah, like when you have to make a toolbox.
right. You know, but it looked awesome to me. I was just like, that is sweet. You know, because it was just, I don't know, I kind of like your normal effect. Just, I mean, to me, there's nothing appealing about them.
Right.
You know, the box itself. I'm just like, yeah, they're all the same, you know. And, so I saw that, and I was like, now that is sweet. And I just started doing some research, and I was like, huh, I'm going to give this a try. I want to build something cool like this. So so I ordered a kit off of eBay to make a fuzz pedal. That was my first shot at it. And the guy sent me like photocopied pictures of how to build the circuit. And, you know, just like a little piece of a strip board. And it was ridiculous. It was like the pictures or anything, you know, it was just like, it looked like he had this, you know, pictures that he had taken, you know, with a camera in like 1994, and he had been making copies of copies ever since, you know.
Perfect.
Yeah. So yeah, it didn't work. You know, I got it all put together.
Oh, and it didn't work.
So then I really started doing some digging. You know, I was like, what is this circuit? And how's it supposed to work?
Right.
And, you know, and then I was able to build it myself just by looking at the schematic and, you know, learning a little bit more about how to read schematics and what each part did. And, so yeah, then when I was able to build it myself, you know, I was like, wow, this is cool. This is really, you know, it's really fun to, I've always kind of been into, you know, just learning new things. And, so that sparked my interest in it and got me started. And,
nice.
Yeah, just been kind of going from there. I mean, I've still got a lot to learn about electronics, and I probably never will be competent.
Really, sure.
But yeah, I do what I know, and you know, keep learning as I go.
Definitely. Well, I played the Aslan. You had sent one to Josh Marmon, and the other day I went over there and played it. Man, that thing, you know what you're doing. It sounds great. It sounds really, really great.
Oh, that's good to hear. I'm glad you like it.
I really enjoyed it. So now I got to save up some money.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah. Honestly, like if people haven't seen them, these things are a piece of art. They look amazing. They really look amazing. I mean, you know, like sometimes you see it online, you're like, oh, that looks so cool. And you get it and you're like, well, whatever, that's fine. I didn't, but this is like, looks cooler in real life, you know?
Oh, that's good to hear. Yeah. I've had times when I've have something, you know, and I'm like, ah, oh, this looks really cool. And then I take some pictures of it, and I'm like, wow, looks like garbage in the pictures. yeah, you know, I'm really small scale. You know, I don't have them out there, you know, with dealers.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, other than a little local shop here. So, yeah, I know people, you know, they don't really get a chance to get their hands on them. And that's kind of, you know, why Josh has one. I've got I've got a couple that I send out as loaners for people that are, you know, really interested, but you know, they're like, obviously I want to see what this really sounds like through my rig.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and so yeah.
He's got a couple amps over there. We played through a Blues Junior and he's got a AC30. So he got a couple different flavors of different amps and what it sounds like. It sounded great through everything. So I really enjoyed it. It was a really nice sounding pedal.
Yeah. I kind of, when I designed that, when I was working mainly with a Vox amp as kind of okay. my test rig. And since then I've moved to I got a Hot Rod Deluxe that I test most things through in the initial okay. stages, just because it's got so much headroom, you know, that you can just
you really get a feel for the pedal
sound like, because you know, the amp is not adding any of its own drive unless you crank up the pedal. And but then I always test them through a Vox style amp as well.
Cool.
See what they're gonna sound like.
So do you have a favorite of your pedals that you've done?
Well, you know, when I first started out, kind of, following that theme of the pedal on Taylor Goldsmith's board, which incidentally was built by the bassist in their band, who is Wiley Gelber, who's just a really cool guy. He builds all kinds of stuff. He builds his own basses. He builds pedals.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he just, he builds all their cables for their band. You know,
that's like crazy. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. Kind of following on that theme, the first number of pedals I built were just all one-offs, built in just whatever cool enclosure I could find, like at a thrift store or antique store. And, you know, the first one I built, I think, was in a, I've got it on the shelf. Yeah, it's in a little copper cup.
That's awesome.
It's this tiny little pedal, and it's fuzz pedal, and it still works, but I've taken it off my board because I open it up and look at it, I'm like, holy cow. There's a lot of unnecessary wire in there, and it's got some extra holes in it where I messed up drilling, and so some of the first ones I built several inside, like voltmeters, like old metal voltmeters, or I just like buy vintage meters off eBay and put one in the pedal. And,
yeah, definitely. Cool.
Hook it up to the volume control, you know, so the needle moves as you turn the pedal up. And so some of those I like just for kind of sentimental value. I've got this one I'm looking at it right now. It's a little brass box, and it says Sunday Series Fish Class, and it's a Anisquam Yacht Club, and it says third prize 1923.
Third prize. I like that.
23. Nice.
Yeah. So it's almost 100 years old. It's like a little cigarette case or something, you know?
Oh, that's cool.
But, so those, but mainly all those were, you know, boosts or fuzz based on, somebody else's circuit. That I was just learning. I built a lot of Jack Orman AMZ effects. He kind of popularized the Mu amp, they call it, which is a great JFET amp that a lot of pedals are based on. And I built tons of those. That's a great sounding circuit. But as far as favorites go, now that I've kind of done some of my own designing, probably is my favorite, just because I get so much use out of it in my own personal playing. I just find myself turning that thing on most of the time.
What was that again? It broke up on my end.
Oh, sorry. The Orchrist is my favorite of my original designs.
I love the look of that pedal too. It looks so good.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That artwork was done by my wife.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah. And that, the fact that we didn't get divorced by the time that pedal was done was probably one of my major life accomplishments.
It's a testimony.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I just love that. I love how, like, you know, the LED is behind it and it lights up the sword. It just looks so cool. It's a great design.
Thank you. Yeah. That design, I went through so much to get that done. So many people, contractors, you know, to get those letters cut into the stainless steel. It's a stainless steel enclosure.
Huh.
And to get that cut, you know, it's a pretty fine lines. And man, I talked to laser cutters, I talked to water jet people, just machine shops, and everybody's like, no, no.
They just know, right, yep.
And, you know, I finally had this guy, he's like, yeah, we can do that. And I was going back and forth with him for literally like 5 weeks, just trying to be like, come on, when, you know, give me a bill and get this thing into production. And you know, he's like, well, okay. So he's like, well, we'd like to do the laser engraving on the case because all the graphics on that case are laser etched.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm like, all right, well, if you guys do that, I was like, give me a quote on that because I had a local trophy shop was doing it for me. And just a real cool guy, Blue Ribbon Awards in Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, or Wisconsin, down by Eau Claire. So this guy was, I walked into the shop. I'm like, can you do this? And he just like dropped everything he was doing. He was like, well, let's give it a try, you know.
Nice.
Set it up for me. Yeah. And then he ran a bunch of them. My whole first run, he did all of them in his trophy shop, one at a time there, you know. Just like, but yeah, this big contractor was like, well, let me give it a try, or, you know, give you a quote. And he sends the proof back to me, and like the resolution of the drawing, you know, there's all this shading and everything on the sword that my wife put hours to get the shading right on everything. And it's, you know, it's got the sword and it's got these vines with leaves with, you know, real delicate shading on it. And that was all gone. It was just like a black and white outline, basically. <of everything. laughs> You know, it was like, it looked like, you know, it looked like something a sixth grade, you know, kid who was a fan of anime or something had drawn.
Oh, that's so good.
And I was like,
anime.
I couldn't believe it. You know, I was like, what happened to all the detail? Well, we can't get that level of detail. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, I sent you the file. Can't you just transfer it into your program? And he's like, well, we send all of our CAD drawings out to somebody else. And that's what they came up with. And I was like, well, I don't want that. You know, it's like, just forget that. He's like, well, let me have him do it again. So he does it again. It's like maybe 50% better, you know, still terrible. And I'm just like, no, never mind. I don't want you doing that part. So he's like, okay, well, we'll get them cut for you. So another couple weeks go by and, you know, I'm trying to launch this pedal and I cannot get the case cut. You know, I'm just like, come on, dude. You gotta. So he finally calls me back and he's like, I took this back to our technician on the laser and he says we can't do this. I'm just like, wait a minute.
Like, awesome.
Yeah. So I've been talking to a salesman, you know, who doesn't have any technical knowledge apparently of what his company does.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, are you kidding me? It was like, all this time we've been talking about this, you've never even, you know, like, ask anybody, hey, can we cut this? You know, is this something we can do?
It's like, I just asked someone this morning.
Yeah, right.
I just sent the email.
Yeah. So, you know, my enclosures are two pieces, you know, folded steel or aluminum. And so the bottom piece is usually just, I mean, it's basically a rectangle with rounded corners. And then I fold it, you know, into the shape.
Right.
And so he's like, well, we can't do that top piece, but we'll still do the bottom piece for you.
You're like, great. Exactly what we need.
I'm going to find another contractor to cut this top piece, and then I'm going to have you do the bottom. I'm like, yeah, no. And he got upset with me. And he's like, well, you know, we've got a lot of work into this already. You know, I've got a lot of time into this. As a salesman, he's got a lot of time. You know, I'm just like, well, that's not. And he's like, you know, I had that CAD drawing done for you. You know, the terrible artwork, you know. Yeah. I was just like, he's like
the anime kid drew it. I knew he did.
Right. Yeah. And I was just like, well, you know, you haven't delivered anything to me. I've got, and he was gonna send me a bill.
Oh my gosh.
Because he had to show, you know, his boss what he'd been doing with his time. And I was just like, you talk to your billing department and you send it out, but I was like, I can't I don't make any promises that I'm going to pay you anything. You right. know? What would I get out of this deal? But you wasted 5 weeks of my time.
Yep. Yeah.
So then I get a hold of this little laser cutting shop in just kind of in the industrial district of Minneapolis. And, you know, I talked to this guy and he's like, yeah, we can do that. I'm like, okay, really? He's like, yeah, no problem. He gives me a quote and it's literally half the price of the other guy who's giving me the runaround.
Right, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we can do it in stainless steel instead of aluminum. It'll cut cleaner. And I'm like, so you're doing it in stainless steel and you're doing it for half the price. You know, I didn't tell him that was half the price of somebody else's quote.
Right, yeah.
I was just like, well, okay. And yeah, that guy's been awesome to deal with. He's done all my cases for me now. And
nice.
Just super fast turnaround. Just, you know, it's kind of a place where you can actually go in and talk to the guys who are running the machines. You know, one time I was, cause I get most of my aluminum cases get anodized, rather than being painted. They're actually, anodized. And, I live about an hour and a half from where I got to take them to drop them off. So, and the cutter is in that same area. So I stopped there one day, I'm picking up some cases and trying to get them ready to ship, you know, and I'm like, I need to sand these. But I got all my tools in the back of my truck. I'm like, batch of them. And they're like, heck, they clean off a table in the shop for me. They're like, come on in, you can use our sander, you know, and just.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, just really great guys to work with, you know, and he's like, is that the finish you want on them? Like all the time? I'm like, yeah, pretty much. He's like, yeah, we can do that for you. You know, we'll just do that for you, you know, before we deliver them. We're like, wow, you guys, you just earned my business for life.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's kind of a thing with that I really wanted with wrought iron is to be able to deal with, you know, as local as I can. And just as personally as I can with other businesses, you know, that are going to do, you know, provide services for me. You know, and I just try to get everything as local as I can. And you know, obviously you're not going to get electronic components that are made in the USA, but that stuff's all coming over from China. But everything else I try to get, you know, from USA vendors. And if I can get it here in this area, I'll get it here. And
right, yeah.
It's been really cool to, you know, just work with other people that kind of have that sense of, you know, like just getting involved, I guess, with what they're doing rather than, you know, it's just another project and, you know, squeeze as much money as you can out of the,
out of
the guy. Yeah. And so even if you do just bad drawings for him, try to charge him for them, you know? So, but yeah, anyway, I don't even know if that was an answer to a question or if I'm just rambling for 10 minutes here. So
yes.
He's like, yes to what? You're like, yes.
Yes. So you said that you put electric guitar aside for a while. Did you still just play acoustic or did you put guitar aside altogether?
No, I took an acoustic guitar with me. I took the first acoustic guitar that I bought for myself, I kind of learned on my mom's old no-name, terrible acoustic guitar. And then the first one I bought for myself was a 1950s Harmony arch top.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was a really cool guitar. You know, it was one of those kind of like Sears catalog guitars. But, it, you know, it was made in the USA back in the day and just had a really cool look to it. It didn't really sound that great, you know, honestly, but it was just a cool guitar. So I took that with me to Nicaragua, which is where I went with the Peace Corps. Nice. I was still really new to playing guitar. I'd only been playing guitar for like a year. And so I got a lot of, when you're in the Peace Corps, you have a lot of free time usually. Cause like they send you out there to, you know, oh, go tell all these farmers who have been, you know, that have been farming their whole life and are, you know, subsistence level farming, go teach them how to change everything they do, you know, in this really risky way so that they'll do better soil conservation. you know, because you're a 22-year-old American and you must be an expert on that. You know? So basically everybody's like, is very polite to you. And it's like, okay. And then, you know, they don't do anything that you want them to do. And they don't come and talk to you very much.
Right, yeah.
So you sit in your Adobe house with candles and play guitar.
Really good at guitar.
yeah. Well, I didn't get really good, but I got a lot better than I was.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so I played a lot of acoustic guitar until that guitar was in Nicaragua. Their public transportation it's old school buses from the United States. And they're just like, they put these luggage racks on the top of them and they're all like painted all crazy and everything. And you just squeeze as many people as you can on one of those up the aisle. And I mean, there's times when you're like standing on 1 foot for like 2 hours. And so I was going from one town to another and there was a Peace Corps vehicle there. And one of the program directors was like, "Hey, I'll give you a ride to the bus stop." So it was a couple city blocks, you know, and there was a bunch of us. So I took that guitar, which I had with me in the case, and I stuck it up on 2 blocks, right? So we get to the bus stop, and the last bus has already left. And so the Peace Corps guy's just like, "I'll give you a ride to the next town." And I didn't even think about my guitar, and we swung out onto the Pan American Highway and take off. We're going down the Pan American Highway at like 55 miles an hour, and all of a sudden I look out the back window and see that guitar crashing down the road.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, it snapped the neck and just it obliterated it.
Yep, that was it.
That was it. So that was the end of that guitar.
That's a funny story, though. So at least it is a funny story. I hate, you know, when people are like, "Well, and then I had it and it got stolen." Like, that's not a funny story. Right. Like, at least you have a funny story about it.
Yeah. Well, I always call it the John Denver curse, because I hate John Denver music, and sorry to all the John Denver fans out there, but he's terrible. His music was terrible.
Awesome. That's so funny.
So, you know, it's just like when I first got to Nicaragua, it's kind of, I mean, a bunch of Peace Corps volunteers is exactly what you'd expect. You know, it's just a bunch of kind of, you know, just hippies basically.
Yeah.
And everybody sitting around, I mean, like, you know, 4 out of 5 guys there played acoustic guitar.
Of course, know? Right. They all knew Wonderwall, all of them.
Right. But yeah, so, and then the guitars would kind of get passed around, you know, there'd be 4 or 5 guitars out, and we were sitting around just playing a bunch of songs, and somebody was playing my guitar. And I'd always tell people kind of as a joke, you know, like, "Yeah, you can play my guitar as long as you don't play any John Denver on it." And my guitar was just going from person to person, and then all of a sudden, the guy who had it, he breaks out singing "Country Roads."
Oh, no.
And I'm just like, "Oh, no." I was like, "You can't do that to my guitar." Yeah. And then a few months later,
that was it,
flying off the Peace Corps truck.
Yep, that was
oh,
it.
Oh, John Denver. It's the John Denver curse.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So about how many pedals are you making, like, in a year? Are you making quite a bit, or...?
You know, it really varies. I mean, from month to month, because
sure,
my life's been a little bit nutty. You know, we did the Kickstarter last July to kind of get it going with, I had 3 pedals at the time that were all original circuits. The Bucephalus preamp, which is actually 2 circuits, and then the Orchrist and the Aslan. And, you know, we launched those in July. And while that Kickstarter was going, the landlord at the place that we had been renting, my wife and I, for, man, we'd been there for like 12 years, and just this beautiful farm that she kind of needed a caretaker for. And, you know, she was living somewhere else, and she didn't have any plans for this property. She just wanted somebody there she could trust. And so we got the use of this beautiful, like, 80-acre farm with like about 50 acres of woods, and kind of a cool log home, and big barn where I had my shop set up. And she was like, she just, you know, the last I talked to her, she was like, yeah, I'm thinking about selling it, but it won't be till, you know, late next year. And so we're planning on staying the winter there and getting this business going. And she's like, she calls me one Sunday night and she's like, she says, yeah, you guys need to be out in 2 months.
Oh no.
I'm like, what?
You know, like, yeah, when you live there for 12 years.
Yeah. And like, I'm like, you mean like I just launched this Kickstarter and my delivery dates are scheduled for, you know, the week that you're telling me I'm going to be moving, like all my earthly possessions that I've been piling up in this huge barn for 12 years, you know? And so, yeah, so we had a quick move into just a little house in town, and I moved the whole shop out into a little one car garage, and you know, filled all my Kickstarter orders from this tiny little garage that was just full of all my leather stuff and my, you know, all my setup to make my enclosures and my setup to, you know, build all the electronic stuff. You know, it was just, it was ridiculous. And then 2 months ago, we moved again. We actually bought a place with a really nice. So things have been kind of put on hold for about the last 6 months as far as,
yeah.
You know, we launched things with the Kickstarter and then kind of had to be like, I got to back off here and get figured out where I'm going to, you know, where I'm going to have a workbench to build these things on.
Right. Definitely. Now, are you doing this? Is this your side job? Or is this you doing this full time now?
Well, I was for a while. And then, you know, when we decided we were going to move, you know, I've been doing other stuff kind of, I was going to say on the side.
It's your side job.
You know, I mentioned earlier, I was shoeing horses for a long time. And that was, you know, that was really my career up until 2 years ago. And I hurt my shoulder and just was not able to do it anymore. And, you know, for a long time, up until we launched the Kickstarter, actually, I was thinking I was going back to that. And this was going to be a side. Then it got, you know, to where the therapist told me, he's like, you're going to have to stop doing this or this is never going to heal. And so I was like, well, it's like, we better get this wrought iron business going, you know, get it ramped up. And, unfortunately I did that at like the worst time ever in the gear industry, you know, businesses are closing and people are going bankrupt. And I didn't realize how bad 2016 was as a year for the gear industry, but I guess it was.
Well, it could have been worse. You could have did it in like 2004 when nobody cared about anything like that. So it could have been worse.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. When Kickstarter did.
Yeah. Kickstarter didn't exist. You know, and there was only two boutique builders. You know what I mean? Like it could have been a lot worse.
It could have been. Yeah. So, yeah. So it's, you know, I've kind of held it back a little bit until I get, I'm almost got the new shop completely set up. It's still a little bit chaotic, but starter and all this moving and having to reset the shop and everything was, you know, I ended up way behind on my delivery times of what I had estimated for people. And, you know, I mean, I kept in contact with everybody and updated them, you know, as I went, and everybody was real cool about it.
Oh, that's
but
good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I think that's kind of the way most people stuff, you know, they know that you're, I mean, if you're at least
I think we lost you
for like,
oh, sorry.
Like the last, like maybe 10 seconds. It was just silence.
I was just saying, I think most people are pretty reasonable, you know, when it comes to delays and stuff, as long as you keep in contact and, you know, let everybody know what's going on. If you don't just disappear with their money.
Yeah. That's the biggest, that's the only thing people care about is they just want either their product or they want their money back, you know? And
right.
So like if you're, yeah, we've talked about this a little bit before, just like, I bought something from, Spaceman
effects, and it was when they ended up moving shops. I can't remember why they moved. There was water damage or a flood or something, and they didn't, I kept contacting them and I didn't get anything, and then randomly after like 6 months they're like, oh yeah, we have that, we're gonna mail them out. And I was like, well, where were you? Yeah, it was crazy. I think it was forever, and I was like, well, I just kind of want my thing or my money back or whatever, you know. But they really weren't getting back to anybody, and then I've bought stuff from them since, and it's been like a quick turnaround, and you know, like I've been happy. But just that one time I was like, I think I got screwed on this one, you know.
Right. Yeah. That's a long time to go with no contact.
Yeah. But I had a friend that bought a Morgan amp right kind of when he started to like peak and didn't have like, he wasn't able to like produce quick enough, and it was like a year that he was like, he had given all his money, he's just waiting, and he waited like a year, and then finally he's like, yep, here's the tracking number.
Wow.
With like no contact. Uh-huh. Like eventually he was like, okay, I'm gonna get my money back, or you know, you gotta send the amp. And he was like, oh yeah, no problem, I'll send it right out, here's the tracking number.
Wow.
Which is crazy. And you know, I know he had some problems when he got kind of big where people just didn't get their stuff, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So. And that's kind of the thing that I'm really trying hard to avoid, because I know that is kind of the reputation for, you know, kind of the boutique builder world is long wait times, and you know, and you know, some people are a little like, you know, don't bother me. I can't build your amp or your pedal if I'm answering all these emails. Oh,
sure, yeah, absolutely. But I think
you gotta, that's like, well, you shouldn't be in business if you can't, you know, if you can't keep up with that aspect of it.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
You know, that's part of business, and so. Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, I'm getting geared up here to kind of relaunch the line of pedals on my own website. But yeah, I want to be able to be sure I can, you know, not take people's money and not give them a product for 6 months. Sure. And but you know, in the meantime, I've done a lot of, you know, just kind of I you know, I do have pedals, and I'll sell them you know, a few at a time to people, especially like people that I know through the podcast community, you know, 60 Cycle Hum, Gear Slum.
Well, who are those guys?
Yeah.
Oh, those are some other random podcasts.
Yeah, they're probably not good. They're probably not even good.
They're not really that good. I mean, but
you got to fill your time somehow, though. I get it.
Right. Yeah. You know, I just mainly mock the hosts as I'm listening. You know, I just work in my shop and listen to these podcasts and just mock them to myself, because I'm sad and alone. Yeah.
I'm all alone.
But, yeah, that's, you know, and I've done a lot of custom builds for guys. I'm working on one right now for a guy from one of the podcast groups, and, it's the Aslan pedal actually started out. It started out as a dual overdrive. So it had the good side, which is the green one.
Right.
And then it had another circuit, which I called the not safe circuit. That's kind of the quote from, I guess it's probably from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, one of those Narnia books where you know, they're talking about Aslan. And I think the little girl, Lucy, asks, is he safe? And what's the guy's name? The Beaver.
Oh yeah, Mr. Beaver.
Mr. Beaver, yeah. The name was slipping my mind there.
If only we could figure out what his name was.
But yeah, he's like, you know, he's like, safe. No, he's not safe, but he's good.
Yeah.
You know, and so I had the two sides of that pedal, and the first I think I built three or four of those dual overdrives, just totally custom, you know, they were in recycled enclosures. Those were made, I think all of those were in cases from like Model Train speed controllers.
Oh, nice.
Cool. And some of the original Lionhead icons, you know, they were like antique drawer pulls.
Oh, but, nice.
Yeah, so that was kind of a cool aspect to them.
Yeah, and, I think I had seen that, because I was talking to this with Josh, that I'd seen pictures of like the Aslan before you released it on Kickstarter.
Yeah, yeah. I had, you know, I'd probably put them on my Facebook page. I'm sure I had them on my Facebook page.
Yeah, because they looked cool. I mean, the new ones look cool too, but I remember I was like, this looks different, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And so, yeah, I was building those original three or four or five, whatever they were. They were all hand wired, you know, completely just like no PCB. They were just built on perf board, you know, making each individual connection individually. Okay. And that was just, it's a fun way to build because it really, you know, you're building the circuit, you know, as you go. So it's a fun way to build as a hobby, but when you put like 15 hours into building a pedal and you like start to do the math after you take out your costs and you're like, wow, I made like, you know, $1.50 an hour.
Yeah, right. Thing.
It's like, this ain't going to feed the family. So, but I've been working on, eventually I'm going to release the other side of that pedal.
Cool.
And probably do the dual thing again. And, but I've kind of been redesigning the not safe side, just to kind of dial it in a little bit more. And
so is the not safe side, is that like more aggressive or what, like what, how does it sound different?
It's the beginning of those circuits was very similar where I took, they're kind of a mix of JFET transistors and bipolar transistors, which maybe that doesn't mean anything to a lot of people, but, the JFET transistors are kind of the newer technology of the two, and that a lot of people think they sound very tube-like. They share a lot of characteristics with vacuum tubes as far as how they conduct current and everything. But so basically, it's very similar components, but in a different order in the circuit.
Okay.
And that's how it started out. And so it gave the, well, you've played around with the good pedal a little bit, and
yep.
And you know it's really dirty. You know, it's just really saturated and, but pretty smooth. And, that's kind of like my preference on overdrive. I like it. I like kind of that smooth saturation and, you know, not quite as gritty, but just kind of really saturated and kind of spongy more. So the not safe side, because it was in a different order, it had a little bit more of, it's more aggressive, a little bit grittier. And just, you know, I usually try to make the circuits, you know, I kind of name them after something that I think, characters usually that share that, the character of the circuit.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So like, you know, the good side is that like that kind of smooth, just like really consistent saturation. Pretty much at any volume, it's going to be like that. You know, it doesn't really clean up very much. It's just a really dirty saturated overdrive. So the not safe is more, basically it's got a lot more treble available and it's a little grittier. And, what I was really going for with that one, as I've been redesigning it, a bit, is to get some volume knob cleanup. Well, you know, when you turn your guitar volume back to get it to respond more like a fuzz face. That's kind of always the gold standard for me. Have you guys ever played a germanium fuzz face?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay. You know how it's just like almost magic how you like roll your volume knob back to like 50% and it just like it cleans up and it gets a little bit kind of sparkly.
Yeah, it's like chimey, almost.
Yeah, right. And, you know, you don't expect that when you roll a volume knob back, you know, you usually lose quite a bit of treble content from your signal. So that's something that I really am, you know, just in that direction that I really like have been looking for in the last couple of circuits that I've been working on. And so, yeah, the not safe, it's going to be more aggressive, a little brighter, have some volume knob cleanup. This one's going to have a switch that you can flip that basically just kind of lets your guitar signal just saturate the thing with bass and just turns it into a fuzz almost.
Okay.
So that's kind of a cool feature that this one's going to have. And it's, you know, this one's a custom one for somebody from the podcast groups, like I was saying, and it'll have, you know, I'll have that drawer pull, antique drawer pull lion head on it, and it's you know, it'll be built in like a like a silver, I think it's a Silent Butler, which I've built a lot of pedals in these Silent Butlers. I didn't even know what they were when I first bought one. You know, I bought it at an antique store. I was like, what is this thing? It's like a square container with a lid and a handle like off the back of it. Like, what is this? You know, and I guess they were back in the day, you know, when people smoked all the time inside, people would have these and they'd go around and just like pop the lid open and empty all the ashtrays in the room into this Silent Butler.
Okay.
Close it up and go dump it, you know, in the trash or wherever.
Yeah, I just looked it up. I had no idea. I'd never even heard of it. So that, yeah, it looks like a little, pot. Look at them.
There's all these different kinds. People have a monitor. It's like, okay.
Oh, I think we lost you. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. So, like, yeah, when I started, I've got a bunch of them, and they're it's kind of crazy. Like, a lot of them have monograms on them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, yeah, you got a little monogram trash can there. Okay.
Yeah, right. Like, that's what you need monogrammed.
Right. Yeah. Like
the only thing, yeah, like, I the only thing I can understand, like, pajamas and towels, that's like, don't use those. Those are mine. That's why I monogrammed them. But, like, right, your trash can.
Yeah, right. Yeah, your little ashtray emptier. Yeah, got to have that monogram.
Yeah, don't put my wife's ashes in there. Just mine. Thank you.
Right, yeah. Put the family crest on it, you know. It was really, you know, I think, like, in the 50s and 60s, kind of, you know, kind of that era of just, I don't know, just like a lot of fancy stuff that people had. Maybe, you know, it's probably a result of the economy at the time.
Sure,
you know, middle class growing and people just wanting to have stuff. But, yeah, so, but there's a lot of cool stuff that came out of that early part of the 20th century that, you know, is cool to build pedals in now.
Definitely. Very cool.
So otherwise it's just piling up on shelves at antique stores. You know, nobody wants a Silent Butler anymore when it's like illegal to smoke inside in probably all 50 states by now.
It's gotta be close. Yeah, for sure.
Texas. I don't know. I shouldn't say all 50.
Yeah, just Texas. You've got high buildings and you can smoke right, as much as you want.
Right, yeah. Yeah. You can shoot a cigarette out of somebody's mouth inside in Texas still.
Yep. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, Esteban, you got any more questions for him?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, like, well, I guess I could kind of, if I guessed, if I thought about it, I could answer myself, but like, do you sell more of your, like, leatherwork stuff and, like, ironworking stuff than you do pedals?
Yeah, definitely. Right now, quite the majority of my sales are guitar straps.
Yeah.
But when you know, I mean, you know, when you...
Because you do, like, knife holsters or, like, gun holsters too, right?
I don't do gun holsters, no. I mainly stick to guitar straps. I do some belts. You know, I've done a lot of different things, like custom wise over the years, but, it just, you end up with dealing with crazy people a lot. You know, because like when somebody contacts you for a custom item, it's like, number one, there's only like two kinds of people. It seems like, well, there's maybe three, but the third category is very small. And the third category is just like reasonable people who just want something custom made.
Right.
And that's like probably 10%.
Yeah.
Of, and then you have like probably the other 45% of the rest of the people that like, so there's like 45% of people are, they want something that they already exists, but they want you to make it cheaper.
Okay. Yep.
You know,
yeah,
like,
sure.
Like I could get this leather thing from, you know, this leather, like I made a backpack for a gal wants a leather bag. I could get it, you know, at Eddie Bauer, but it's, you know, $150. So can you make it for $75? you know, can you make it one of a kind by hand?
Yeah.
You know, for cheaper than money. For half the price of this.
But I want it to look just like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want it to be, you know, half price of this mass produced one, you know? And so like half the people are that, can you make this thing that already exists that I could order, you know, on Amazon.com, can you make it for half price of what they sell it for on Amazon with free shipping, you know?
Yeah.
And then the other half are just crazy people. You know, they just like, I used to make custom stuff. I did some metal work too. And I this woman contacted me on Etsy and she wanted a Christmas tree topper, and she wanted it to be a spiral, just like a spiral to sit on top of a Christmas tree. You know, I'm like, yeah, okay, I can make that. So,
yeah.
So I make her this spiral thing, and she loved it. You know, she thought it was great. And so I can't even remember what the next thing she wanted me to make was, but it was also a spiral. And, you know, just some kind of decoration for the house or something. I said, okay, well, you know, I've got a bunch of guitar strap orders I got to take care of right now. You know, and I gave her a timeline. I was like, this is when I can do it. And I'm like, I'm going to be out of town. I was going to, it was around Christmas time, obviously with the Christmas tree, you know. I was like, I'm going down to my parents for Christmas in Indiana, and then I'll be back, and, you know, I can work on it like January 1st, let's say. So she says, okay, she agrees to it, you know, and we set up payment for the thing. And so I head down to my parents. I take some of my stuff with me that I know is going to sell, some guitar straps and stuff, and I ship them from there. And all of a sudden I get this message from her, and she's like, oh, so you're out of town, huh? Well, I see you still had time to sell some guitar straps, but you're not working on my item. And she just like goes on this rant, you know, about how like I lied to her. Like,
well, you did. You shouldn't have lied, really. Let's be honest. I know. It's, now's your chance to come clean if you want to.
Right. I was just like, wait a minute. I was like, I thought we just did a, you know, I thought we just did a business transaction. Did I get married to this woman, you know, like online or something? I mean, she's like monitoring my activities and
that's amazing. Like,
yeah, and she was crazy. She was
buying all of the straps. That's what was happening.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, but yeah, she just, you know, and oh, I made a leather backpack for a woman and shipped it to Canada, and then it had all these zippers on it and everything, just crazy design. I mean, it looked hideous, you know, and I was just like, really, this is what you want? Yeah. You know, it was like short and really like fat, like it would stick off your back really far. And she was like paranoid that people were going to steal her stuff. So she wanted zippers on it, but she wanted them all to be against her back so that nobody could come up behind her and unzip. I'm like, okay. And she's like,
that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, right. And she's like, she wants all these zippered pockets, but she doesn't want any of the stitching to show. So, you know, I go to all this trouble. I'm stitching this whole thing by hand. And I ship it to Canada. And she gets it. And she's like, I sent her pictures beforehand. I had my wife put it on, who's about her same height. You know, and I'm like, this is what it looks like. You know, this is how big it is. And it just had this ridiculous design. She gets it and she's like, it's not big enough. Like, okay. She's like, and my phone doesn't fit in the pocket that I, you know, the dimensions I gave you for my phone. So like she had me design a pocket according to the dimensions of the phone she had at the time. Right. Which is kind of poor planning, you know, when you think about.
Yeah.
But, you know, this was years ago, I guess, when people weren't changing phones all the time. And she's like, so her phone pocket was on one of these zippers that was going to be resting against her back. And she's like, I have my phone out 50 to 60 times an hour. And so I can't be putting it back in this pocket 50 or 60 times if it's too tight. I'm like, so you're taking this backpack off 50 times an hour?
Yeah, once a
minute. Taking a phone out, unzipping.
Yeah, you should just not have a bag at that point. Just carry the phone in your hand.
I know. I was like, I see. I'm dealing with a crazy person here. This is someone who is standing still all day, putting a backpack on and taking it back off. Taking the phone out, putting it back in. I was just like, you can't even make that transaction, you know, 50 times in an hour.
No, right.
It's just like, unzip the pocket, get the phone out. You know,
you should have flown down. You should have flown up to Canada and then just be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to start the stopwatch. Let's see if you can do this 50 times. Yeah. We got 1 hour.
Like, yeah. Like, I just want to walk around with you for an hour and just I just want to live your life for an hour.
Yeah. Man, yeah, people are crazy. People are just absolutely nuts.
Yeah, they're insane. So, yeah. So I've stopped doing most of that custom stuff unless it's for somebody I know, because it's just.
You deal with. Didn't you make like? So I know. I remember like someone on the gear, one of the gear pages was talking about you making something for like their grandpa or like their dad. Was it like Blake or someone?
Oh no, Blake's dad or Blake's grandpa. He does make gun holsters. Blake's grandpa does leather work.
Oh, maybe that's so, what I was mixing up with. God.
Yeah. Yeah, so like Blake and Justin Porter both have they have guitar straps that Blake's grandpa made.
They have gun holsters on them?
Yeah, they have gun holsters.
That'd be awesome.
That would be amazing.
That sounds like something you'd see on Gear Talk Praise and Worship.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, so his grandpa makes gun holsters and guitar. He makes some really cool guitar straps. They're like they're all hand tooled and everything.
Oh, nice.
Just really cool stuff. But yeah, I recently made a strap for Justin Porter.
Nice.
So that might be where you saw that kind of those two things combine, because he has one from Blake's grandpa and then he has one from me. So, but
making all the straps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty sweet. So. And I just have to sell my soul and then I can start getting things.
Right. Speaking of selling your soul, I saw today we're. What's that?
Oh, I just told him it's okay. It'll go for cheap though, so maybe you won't be able to buy anything.
Well, I was wondering if maybe you'd already done some deals with the devil. I saw today you're down 60 pounds, Esteban.
Yeah, man, excited.
But it's amazing, awesome. Isn't it?
That is.
Man, it's so good.
Yeah.
I've been trying to lose weight for like 2 years, but. I guess you actually have to do a combination of eating less and exercising more, and I didn't realize that.
Those things are hard to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, if somebody would have told me that was the deal, I'd have been like, oh, well, I'm not sure I can do this.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know what you can do? Get yourself a nice kidney stone. That'll take care of it. That's what I did. Worked out perfect.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, actually, I lost about 25 pounds, and now I'm still down about 15 from what I was before I got it.
Nice.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I was gonna say, I think I'd like lock myself in a room for a week. You know?
Yeah, definitely. That's better.
That'd be better. Yeah.
Because I'll tell you that I mean it was the worst pain ever. I probably threw up. Maybe every 30 minutes for almost a week. It was awful.
Wow.
Because, it just wouldn't come out of my kidney, and it was just so painful that I was just in that much pain that I was throwing up all the time. And I would eat, man. And I'd feel normal, and then I'd just be like, okay, I'm going to go throw up for a while.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It was awful. So don't do that. I don't recommend
it. Okay.
That. You will lose weight, but it's not a good diet plan.
Right. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh. What else you guys got going on lately?
Ooh, not much.
We like both just got back from vacation, so yeah, that was kind of
Tennessee,
our. And we weren't together though.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just like Paul, myself, and Jamie Davis. We all went on vacation at the exact same time.
Okay, but not together.
No, different places.
Different places of the East.
Yeah, he went to like Florida. Jamie Davis went to like Florida. Where did you go? You went to Tennessee.
Tennessee, yeah.
And then I just went to the Adirondacks.
Oh, so nice.
That's only about an hour and a half for me, but it was perfect because there's like no cell phone service up there. I just got away for a week.
Right. Nice. So yeah, when you got little kids, going far away is probably not as easy.
Oh no, absolutely not. And so my father-in-law coaches at a he does like a basketball camp at a summer camp in the Adirondacks. And so like we can kind of go on there like a little bit, and then you have to have like a season's pass, but he's able to kind of finagle it to get a season pass from somebody or get some guest passes so we can go on each day. And so the kids loved it because like they have the lake that it sits on is you can walk out 100 feet and you're only up to your waist. And so for a little kid to walk out 50 feet into the lake and they're not even up to their shoulders or anything, is perfect because you can watch them, but you don't have to be like on top of them. So
yeah,
it's great. So because we have a 2-year-old and then we have twins that are one, and so like we just set the twins like, you know, like right at the edge of the water, and somebody just sat there the whole time, and then the 2-year-old just wants to go. So
right.
Yeah, my wife and I, we don't drink at all, and we need to start.
Yeah, imagine.
Oh, but it's awesome. It's awesome. So I wouldn't take it back for a second, but it is like, whoa, I can't believe we're still doing this.
Yeah, right. That's kind of – my wife and I got started with kids a little bit late.
Yeah, the same with us. Yep.
Okay, yeah, and it was just – our first one, she was 4.5 pounds when she was born.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And – so she was tiny. You know, she was completely healthy. She was just a little bit early, like 10 days early. And we adopted both our kids.
Okay.
But we've had them both, you know, they were, you know, we knew they were coming. You know, we were in contact with the birth mother before they were born.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, our first, she's like 4.5 pounds when she was born. And she would wake up like every hour for a year.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's yep. I'm right there with you. Yep. I know. Yep.
At the end of that year, I was just like,
yep.
I don't even know my name anymore.
Nope. Absolutely. Yep. I'm in the same exact boat. So it's a very strange situation, but basically my wife and I started doing foster care, and then she was like 14 months at the time. And, basically when we took her, we had her for about a month and a half. And we're like, this kid is the best. Like, we just fell in love with her. And at first they couldn't get a hold of the birth mom. They couldn't, she was like kind of missing in action at first. And then she kind of showed up in the picture, and we did like our first meeting. They're like, well, she's also pregnant with twins and she's due like next month. And we're like, holy crap. And they're like, if you want to keep her in your house, you're going to have to take the twins. And we went,
oh, wow. That was the situation.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, and then we went, okay. And my brother-in-law is a pastor, and I, you know, I sat down and talked with him. He goes, do whatever you can to not take the twins. And so I said,
really?
Not take the twins. And they said, there's nothing. And I said, okay. And so that was my answer, you know, because he just knew it would be such a life-changing, like, experience, you know. And Jada, who is the girl of the twins, there's a girl and a boy, Jada and Jaden. And Jada, she woke up every hour, like you said, because she was with withdrawals. And so it was like a whole year of her just being like so fussy. And she's still fussy to this day, but she's just not like, it's not as prevalent, obviously. And she sleeps through the night. She might wake up a couple times, but not like how she was. So that was rough. So I'm right there with you. I know that feeling. So we bought this thing called a Mamaroo, and that helped a little bit, where it was just basically like a fancy like swing, and it basically did different motions, and you could change the motion when she woke up and she kind of go back to sleep.
Okay. Yeah.
But that was it. Nothing else saved us.
Yeah. That's kind of, we'd do that some to get ours to sleep when they couldn't sleep. But my oldest Audrey, she had to eat every hour.
Oh yeah. That's even worse.
Yeah, for a year. And you know, it's one thing like when you're, you know, when your wife's nursing the kids or whatever, you kind of get that excuse. Well, sorry, I would get up with
it. Yeah, how do I do it?
Can't do it. But you know, when you adopt and they're, you know, they're eating formula from day one, it's like,
yep,
your turn. You.
Yep.
Get up.
I just did it 10 minutes ago. It's now your turn. Like, oh,
right. Yeah,
yeah. There was a while where I felt like I was going insane. Like, I don't think I had slept like for like a month, and I was like,
right,
I'm gonna go and sleep for a while.
Yeah, I would. You know, I was shoeing horses at the time, and you know, doing that job, you're on the road just constantly all day from one place to the next. You know, and I would just, anytime I had like, oh, I got done a half hour early, you know, I'd pull over to a rest stop or a McDonald's or whatever, and I'd just kick my seat back in the truck and like, I'm taking a nap.
Yep.
Just wherever I could get some sleep.
Yeah. That's good, man. So, I mean, but you know what? At the end of the day, you wouldn't change it for anything, you know?
No, for sure.
Yep.
It's just like, you know, when you're 35 doing that, it's a little different than when you're,
oh, Absolutely.
You know, 21 or whatever, 22.
I know. I said that to my wife, you know, because we just started doing foster care within the last 2 years. And we're like, why didn't we do this when we were like 23? Like, it would have been a lot easier. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, I probably only slept that amount when I was that age, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, me too. You know, I was just up all night long when I was younger, but can't do that anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, I just turned 40, and then I've got a three-year-old, you know, and I'm just like, man, this is not an old man's game.
Nope, I hear you, man. I hear you. I'm 28, or 28. I wish I was 28. I'm 38, and I have a two-year-old running around, so I'm right there with you, man.
Right.
Yeah, you're 28.
Yeah. Are you really, Esteban? You're 28?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Yeah, one of my best friends is 10 years younger than me. Isn't that weird?
That's exactly how it is with me too. I don't have any friends hardly that are my own age. They're either like way older or way younger. My wife's always like reading things, and she's like, "Oh, I just read this thing about people that don't have any friends their same age," and you know, she's like doing all the psychoanalysis on me. She's like, "Now I understand you better. Like, this is why you're the way you are." You know,
just tell her you're transcendent and be leave it alone. Okay.
Right. Yeah. It's like, at least I have older friends too, so it's not just that I'm immature.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Me, I'm just immature. All my friends are younger.
Right. Oh. Oh, see, I'm immature and boring because I have old friends and young friends. That's
right. You're a good balance.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Good, yeah. Man. Well, this has been fun. We'll have to do this again down the road, and we had a good time for sure.
Indeed. Yeah, sure.
You got anything you want to plug before we go?
Plug? Not really. You know, I'm just, like I said, I'm going to be launching the website here later on, but I don't have it up and running yet.
Cool. Well, you know, if anybody posted on the page for us, so everyone can see it.
Yeah. Cool.
He's like, mention all right, this podcast and save 1%. Like, that's
1%.
Right. Right. No, I do. You know, I do. Usually have kind of special deals for my favorite podcasts, where they can get a little extra something if you mention the right words. I don't.
He's like, I'm not going to tell you what they are, but you got to mention.
I'm not going to tell you exactly. I don't tell you what they are, but
is all.
Yeah, type some random words into the coupon code box at checkout. See what happens? Nice, 20%. What the heck?
Yeah, it goes up. Every wrong guess goes up like 2%.
Right. Yeah. A while back, I bought a pedal on Reverb. I just like lowballed the guy, and it was, I don't remember. Oh, it was on that Messner pedal from Walrus Audio, and the guy came back. And as soon as he hit me, he's like, "Ah, it's a fair price. I'm not going to go any lower." And I read the name, and I was like, "Oh crap, that's Daniel Tyak from Salvage Custom." So so I hit him back, and I said, "Hey, can you do a 60 cycle hum discount?" And he goes, he hit me back with like double the price. Right. Yeah. I was like, "That's fair."
Right. Did you end up buying that
measure? I did buy it. And actually, I said some joke like, "I paid the regular price for it. I just went to buy it now." And I said, "Can you put a locket of your hair in there for me?" And when I got it inside the pedal, he taped like a locket of his hair. Which is hilarious.
And
I really liked it. I actually really, really liked it, but for some reason I wanted something new, and I haven't found a pedal like that since that I liked. So
That's what I'm kind of curious about.
It sounded really great.
That's cool. Yeah, I like the graphics on that too. It's kind of cool.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I like the way it looked for sure.
Mhm. But yeah, that's kind of how I go through overdrives a lot. That's why
me too.
Build my own. I'm just like, I can't afford to do this.
Yeah, sure.
So I just keep switching to different stuff.
And I really like the BB preamp pedal I have.
That one is one that, you know, I haven't really played a lot of, you know, typical Tube Screamer or Blues Breaker pedals that I really liked, but that BB preamp, I had one of those in my shop for a while to just for repair. Man, that thing sounds good.
Yeah.
That's definitely like top two or three, you know, op amp based overdrive pedals I've ever played. Yeah, I really like
now
that.
They're not even that popular, so like they're relatively cheap.
Uh huh.
Like on Reverb, and like, I sent mine to Leon because like it wasn't working, and then he got it, and then he like then it worked, and like nothing was wrong with it. And then he, like he's like, oh, he's like, can I like borrow it for a while? I was like, I don't care. I thought it was broken. And then like he messaged me. He's like, man, he's like, I'm gonna have to get myself one of these. He's like, this thing's sweet. I was like, yeah, man, it's super good.
It is. It really is. Yeah.
I want to get like a second one so I can have like one for like clean boost and then a second one for like, you know, even like more distortion, like distorted tones.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, don't they make one that's like a deluxe that's like...
Yeah. It's like a beep. Yeah.
It's got the compressor in it, right?
Oh, is that what it is?
Well, no, yeah.
Well, no, they have like... Yeah, they make like a BB with a compressor in it, but then they have like a two-box one. But it's just cheaper to buy two of them.
Oh, really?
That's funny.
Sure.
Then to like buy them.
Just get some orange duct tape and just tape them together.
Yeah, right. We talked about that in one of our episodes, just taping pedals to each other.
That's cool. Yeah, I've actually got a project I'm working on. Well, I will be working on here pretty soon. For maybe I shouldn't name the character.
Voldemort.
Voldemort.
Yeah. You shall not but, be named.
It's a. You know. It's who. It's a frequent podcast listener. I'll just put it that way. And he's got a couple pedals he's gonna send me that I'm gonna just kind of. Basically, not tape them together, but make a box for them.
Oh, nice.
To kind of hide them. And they're just going to be kind of wired together with, you know, one in and one out and a power supply jack. And then.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
He's going to run them with a looper. Two delays. It's just like two cheaper delays that he really likes. But, you know, they're kind of nasty looking plastic pedals. And so. Yeah, so we got this whole like Trojan horse thing going on. We're gonna put them inside something else.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Take up less room on the board,
just put
maybe.
Put in that smoke thing.
What's that? Oh yeah, those, right,
like,
right.
Yeah, like one of those smoke nests or whatever they were called.
Right. Yeah, the Silent Butler. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, smoke nest. Yeah. That's the name of the pedal. The smoke nest.
That's the name of the pedal now. The smoke nest.
The smoke nest. Yeah.
The smoke nest monster.
Just like ambient delays everywhere.
Yeah.
Silent Butler. I will not forget smoke that.
Nest. Yeah. Smoke nest. That's funny.
This episode brought to you by Smoke Nest. The made up pedal from Rod Ironworks.
Yeah, you guys should just like start doing fake commercials like that's a real product.
Oh yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Just like the smoke nest.
We talked you get about. Yours now. We talked,
that's seen like, on
we,
TV.
Yeah, we joked about like once we reach a year,
uh-huh.
to just start like recycling the episodes, like just like like flipping the episodes.
just like. Do them on the same date, but just like overdub it really bad with like 2018.
Yeah. So good.
Oh, that's good.
Good, yeah.
I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and there's several books. Do you?
It. Yeah.
I've listened to several books where they're like, there's a part where it's overdubbed, and you can tell it's not the original reader. It's just they got somebody else with a British accent, you know, to read these two sentences. You know, it's like, wow. Even close.
What do you listen to usually?
Oh man, I usually listen to I either listen to like fiction, like novels, or I listen to like history type stuff.
Oh nice.
Yeah, I'm not really into a lot of you know, kind of, I don't know, just like topical stuff, I guess.
Right.
Modern.
Yeah, neither am I.
You know. So I listen to a lot of novels, but like I'm really picky. I mostly listen to classic stuff
or like Twilight.
Or Twilight. Yeah, that's my two.
Here's your go-to.
It's either Sense and Sensibility or the Twilight.
Yeah, or Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
Right. Yeah. No, I listen to a lot of like. I listen to a lot of kind of. I guess you'd call it classic science fiction stuff.
Okay, cool.
You know, kind of like Dandroid's Dream of Electric Sheep, which, you know, became Blade Runner.
Right, yeah.
that kind of stuff, kind of that era.
Do you
listen
to Brandon Sanderson at all?
I don't think I know who that is.
Yeah, he's like a fantasy sci-fi-ish guy.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to check him out.
Yeah, he's on my list. So I have like, I'm currently reading / listening to The Stand by Stephen King.
Okay, yeah.
Which is really interesting because like it's not a horror, quote-unquote horror. It's like the American government, like, or the military created like this super virus
that like, okay,
escaped and like is essentially killing everyone in America. And so it's okay, like, how do like we rebuild? And it's pretty interesting.
Okay.
And also, me and my son and I, Noah, we're listening to like the Harry Potter like books. So,
yeah.
Like we listen to a book and then we'll like watch the movie. And so like we finished book one not too long ago, and now we just have like 2 more hours left in book 2. And then we'll watch the second movie afterwards. So it's pretty good, like, to get him into reading. And he reads a bunch, too. But just to get him into, like, books more than he has, yeah.
And then, that's cool.
I really like, have you ever heard of the Orphan X series?
I've heard of that, but I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's Greg Hurwitz. It's essentially like a Jason Bourne thing.
Okay.
Oh, you know what I'll do? So, like, if, like, Audible does this thing where you can, like, send a book.
Uh-huh.
And, like, if it's your first time sending it to someone, it's free. So I'll send you the first
book. Oh, really?
Book. Yeah, I'll, like, send you an email link for the first book, and you'll be able to download it for free.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
Thanks.
It's super good.
Yeah, right, I like anyways, a lot of that kind of...
We should get going, because it's 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, man, because I feel like we could just keep talking forever.
Yeah, we definitely could.
That's how all three of us are.
Yeah.
So. All right, but it was awesome having you on, and we'll definitely
we'll do it again.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, great. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it, and best of luck in all your endeavors, child rearing and weight loss and
smoke screen.
Smoke nest monsters.
Smoke nesting.
Smoke nest, right? See, I even forgot the name of the thing I made up. All right.
You got to contact Ryan Burke and have him do a little ad for you for the smoke nest.
Smoke nest. Smoke nest monster. He's making me
have pre-orders available for it.
A logo for the shirt, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Nice.
Yeah, 60 pounds down. Sponsored by Six Sigma.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I'm going to shut up now, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Bye. All right, see you guys. Bye.